Now back to WLIP Mornings with Pete Sarzant.
WLIP Morning Show. It's Tuesday. We welcome back into the studio Dr. Russ Brewer, Care Animal Hospital of Pleasant Prairie. Dr. Russ, good morning.
Good morning, Pete. How are you today?
Doing very well. Hope you had a good week since we chatted last time.
Yeah, we did. We were in Florida for a
bit. Right, I recall that.
Did some biking while we were down there. And
sorry the view's not as nice this morning as it was
last. Actually, you know, the funny thing of it is, like, we came back Sunday and got off the plane and it was 30 degrees. I'm like, we just left 80 for 30, and it was, that was a little harsh. But today I'm like, you know, it doesn't feel so bad. It's 40 right. degrees outside right now. So that's, is, you know, yes, it's windy, but hey, you know, it's the 13th of January. So how can you argue with temps in the 40s?
That's the trade-off. But of course, I think the winter thaw is coming to an end as I look at the forecast. So enjoy it,
looks
it today.
Like it looks like it's going to be brief, right? We're doing these ups and downs. This has just been another weird winter. Not really terribly cold. So I had to laugh about today's topic being winter protection. Like, going, well, we maybe should have done this, what, back in December, where we had 1 week where it was cold.
Probably should have done that like November 1st.
And it is, yeah. And it is right before the next little cold snap we're going to have. But we haven't had like the just, I don't know, we've missed out on these. Like, yeah, it's November 30th and it snowed and we're not going to see the ground until April.
Well, the polar vortex hasn't dipped too far down.
Well,
so
hope it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice. It's kind of nice when it doesn't.
I've watched videos on those terrible years in the 70s that had all those awful winters.
Right.
And
the
how that worked meteorologically and, I hate to call it a perfect storm because it was multiple storms.
Right.
But yeah, we're not experiencing that, thank goodness.
No, and thank goodness. But, you know, there are some things that, you know, so we're going to have another cold snap here that's going to be cold for a bit, and we're going to have some inclement weather. So if you're, you know, if your dog is going outside, or, you know, not that we would ever recommend it, but if your cat does go outside, there are some things that you need to be considering. Cold weather reality checks. Frostbite can happen. I haven't seen a case of this in a while because we haven't had the really brutal cold snaps, but we used to see this more frequently because we'd have longer stretches of cold weather. And, you know, if the dog or cat's outside for an extended period of time, their ears get frostbite because they don't have the big blood supply to it. So it's just like people, if you're out long enough, you know, ears, if they're not protected, or your fingertips, you know, the extremities start to get too cold, and then your tissues freeze and damage. So and hypothermia, it's a reality. It can happen. I mean, and yes, you've got dogs like Alaskan, you know, Malamutes, Siberian Huskies. They've got big, thick coats. They are designed to live in weather that's, you know, 0, 10 below, whatever. But your Beagle that's wearing spandex for a you know, hair coat,
right,
or your Vizsla, they're not. So they should not stay outside for prolonged periods of time. So we need to be cautious. So just the rule of thumb, if the temperature dips below freezing, walks should be shorter and just more purposeful. You know, we're going to get purposeful, meaning we're going to go out and do our thing and come back in. Now, when we're out walking and we're out doing sidewalks, it can be slippery because if we've had some snow or rain and then it's frozen, it's going to be icy. So you need to be cautious for your dog, just like you would for you. You don't want to slip on the ice because that can lead to injuries.
Mm-hmm.
They can have ligament tears. Snowballs packing between their toes can be painful when they're walking. And this happens even in your backyard. I've had it happen to my own dogs. They're out running and chasing each other, or you're throwing a ball for them in the snow and they're having a blast. And all of a sudden they're picking a foot up and limping. And you're like, what's going on? Well, they've got a whole bunch of snow packed between their toes.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable. And if the snow freezes a little bit, after, you know, melts, thaws, freezes. And then we're getting that ice pack.
Right.
Well, that's like walking on glass. So these guys can, if they're out there running around, they can actually get their paws pretty torn up. So you have to be cautious with that. So boots sometimes in the winter, if especially if the snow conditions are terrible, is a good thing. Shorter walks, stick to the cleared paths. You know, use a harness instead of a collar because the collar is a single point of pull. So if they're pulling one way and slipping, you know, you're more likely to cause them to slip. A harness is going to be a little bit more control. Walk slower. If it's icy, you probably shouldn't be walking fast yourself.
No power walking in the winter.
And then we talked about boots. Certainly, if you're using stuff on your driveway to get rid of the ice, use the PetSafe salts.
Right.
Which is just regular sodium chloride. There's some magnesium salts that aren't. Don't use the stuff that's got the heat in the driveway heat stuff, because read the label on it. It says don't put it on your own skin. Like, you know, if you get it on your skin, wash it. It's because it's caustic.
Yeah.
If you've ever done the dumb thing like I have before and you just dipped your hand in once to throw a little bit out, and you're like, yeah, no, that label's right, because that's now stinging a bit. It's because it's got caustic materials in it. So you walk back in, wash your hands, you go, now I'm going to put a glove on and go back and spread this. So,
right.
You know, if you say you haven't done that before, then maybe you haven't ever used it.
You learn from experience.
Yeah, though. You do. You know, when we're young, sometimes we do some things that we shouldn't, and we survive.
A lot of the times when we're young.
Yeah, right. Sometimes when we're older, we do some things we shouldn't.
Also correct.
Helpful adjustments to winter. Warm bedding. I know mine absolutely love having blankets this time of year. Certainly the fireplace is on. I can find the cat and one of our dogs sitting right in front of it because they will sleep there. Rugs for traction inside the house. So if they're coming in with their feet wet and you've got tile or hard surface floors, they're going to leave little footprints all over your house. But B, it does make it a bit more slippery. So having a rug for them to walk across to dry their feet off. Joint supplements and pain medications if they're old geriatric patient and they're going to be a bit more arthritic. This is the thing people ask me a lot of times, like if I get my older clients asking this, like, my joints ache when the weather changes. Do you think my dogs do? I'm like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're experiencing the same thing. So it's not arthritis is arthritis. It's universal. It's the joint inflammation, and their joints are just as responsive to weather changes. They just may not show it.
Right.
But they're still experiencing it. So I always think, you know, if your joints are aching, so are theirs. So if they're an older critter, it's not a bad thing to have some meds on board to help them be a bit more comfortable too. Winter parasites. Now, we do not think about parasites in the wintertime because, I mean, there's not much outside. You go outside, and even though it's 40 degrees, you don't think about – ticks are still out though, because mm-hmm. they're out anywhere above 32.
Okay.
So if you're out walking around, your dog can still pick up a tick. That's a hard one to grapple with, even in my head, just thinking. But I've read the studies. I've
sure.
seen people that study these things have looked at, like, no, they're still active if it's above 32. So, and we certainly have had a lot of that weather. So keeping them on a flea and tick preventative is a perfect thing to do. And intestinal parasites really don't care how cold it is if it's above freezing. So, like, you know, they can still pick up those things. So having them on year-round prevention, which is why we've been promoting that as long as we've been open. So for the last almost 26 years, we've been promoting that. This is why, because they're still there. So it still puts us at risk and puts our pets at risk. And then indoor winter safety reminders, just antifreeze. If you have a spill, and a lot of the windshield washer fluids have a little bit of antifreeze in it. Certainly if you spill it, use a cleanup method, you know, some cat litter on it and then scoop that up, because antifreeze is toxic. So I was, you know, keeping the dog and the cat out of the garage is not a bad thing because there's lots of stuff in the garage they can get into. Space heaters and fireplaces. So if you've got an open fireplace, like ours is a gas fireplace, so it's pretty well closed. And we've joked about that our dog is trying to burn herself because she gets so close to it. But if you've got an open fireplace and you have to worry about them actually getting into it. So be cautious of that. Space heaters, you don't want them tipping things over. You don't want them laying too close. Those things can get really hot. I know the fire department does not like space heaters because those tend to be a big source of wintertime house fires.
Right.
So you really have to be cautious around those. Certainly candles. We're probably not as much the candle season right now because we're not in December. But, if you're still burning a candle here or there, certainly keep them away from it.
Fire department doesn't like candles either.
No, they don't like candles either. They really don't like candles. And then cords and batteries out of reach because they can get into those things. And, there's electric stuff that's plugged in now, probably more if you've got a pet that's going to chew in those. And then maintaining their hydration. So it's dry. I mean, there's like no – well, there's a little bit of humidity in the air today because the wind's out of the kind of south. So you can feel that little bit of humidity. But this time of year, it's usually really dry. I mean, that's why our hands – you wash your hands like you feel like I need to put some lotion on because it's just – you can feel the moisture getting sucked right out of them.
Right.
These guys, because they pant to cool themselves and regulate their body temperature, they are expiring a lot of moisture. So they will drink more in the wintertime. It's almost like being in the heat of the summer where it's hot. They're drinking because they're trying to stay cool. Well, in the wintertime, they're drinking because they're just trying to stay hydrated. So make sure their water dish is filled up. So that's it in a nutshell. Protect their paws. Be cautious on the ice. And if it's really cold outside, don't leave them out.
Yeah.
Unless you've got that Malamute that absolutely loves, and they're designed to be out.
I mean, right.
You know, if
they might not come in the house.
No, I've got a friend that has had Malamutes, and they've now got Eurasiers, and which are still a northern breed, and so those dogs love to be outside when it's cold because they're wearing parkas.
Right.
But you know, you've got other dogs that have really short hair. There's no parka there, so that's like, even if they're overweight, that blubber is still not insulation. So. You know, so this is we joke about that, but there's a fair number of those out there. So,
yeah. Pete would wear a lighter coat in the wintertime than now. So, you know, that's why I chuckled about the insulation.
Yeah, right. So, just be cognitive. Winter weather affects them just like it does us.
Well, very good. Dr. Russ Brewer, Care Animal Hospital of Pleasant Prairie. How can we learn more?
Well, we can give us a phone call at 262-694-6515 or check us out on the web at careanimalhospital.com. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as Care Animal Hospital of Pleasant Prairie.
Dr. Russ, appreciate the time. We will talk to you next Tuesday morning.
Talk to you next Tuesday, Pete. Have a good one.
WLIP Morning Show, 728.